Now, to show our gratitude, we're not going to be like the other guys and jerk you around and bullshit you. We're going to tell you the truth.
Shane Douglas is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
Welcome, North South Connection Podcast Network fans. JT here, about to take you on the most extreme menage a trois of violence you've ever experienced. This week's Extreme Throughway Dance Podcast, a ECW retrospective series. Joining me as always, Jenny and John. How are you guys doing?
This is the true North South Connection right here.
Think so?
Yeah.
The whole feed yeah. Really. You have to be from either Canada or Florida and nothing west.
I like it. It's a good niche gimmick.
Yeah. Louisiana,
good job.
I guess, isn't there, but that's fine. Johnny, how are you?
Ah, beautiful. All regions represented.
All regions locked down. So last episode here on the ECW Extreme Three-Way Dance Podcast, we checked out some TV from January of 1995 that were really excellent shows, by the way. We all graded them very high, a lot of great matches, and really excited us for this special event, which is on the Dirty Network, and that is Double Tables 1995. And this about celebrates our one-year anniversary. If you're new to the show, we started in February 94 with the night the line was crossed, and from there we've chronicled every week of TV and any big event available to us on the network to check out. So we are all pretty jacked. You guys still fired up to talk about this show coming off of last week?
Happy anniversary.
That too. Not happy anniversary of our recording, but happy anniversary of...
Well, of ECW. Of our journey, yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Joey Styles is ringside. Welcomes us to South Philly. We're back here from Florida. Crowd is red hot already. Joey says he has no choice but to bring out the sexiest man alive, Jason. Joey says Jason lobbied for this time for a reason. Jason's looking around. He has to even admit the electricity is unbelievable, but it's pathetic to see Joey savor the moment standing next to him. He isn't there to talk about himself. Instead, he's here to congratulate himself on soon managing the new ECW Tag Team Champions and the Pit Bulls. They head out, and that brings us right into our opener. Joey reminds us that the end of the bad breed, and Jason says they're beautiful, just like his new suit. The Pit Bulls stalk around in the crowd as they're heated up over them, and Jason says he'll announce to everyone his newest young talent that he's brought to the United States. He has the exclusive rights to use the talent of Jason from Wings, promotion in Japan. Another Jason. Jason's out in a hockey mask and a jumpsuit, and Pit Bull 2 backs him up down the aisle. So what'd you guys think of the arrival of Voorhees-style Jason, not Sexiest Man Alive Jason?
I prefer Voorhees yeah. to Sexiest Man Alive.
Maybe they, if they build him from Camp Crystal Lake. They missed the boat on that one.
They did. He was kind of short, though, for a Jason character.
Yeah, it wasn't very menacing outside the mask.
Camp Criscolo.
Not as menacing as the pit bulls and their chains and dog collars and studs.
Not much, especially after seeing them... especially after seeing them train in that barn that we saw last time.
Yeah, with the vampire twins.
Yeah, and I fucked up. I said Wings. I was thinking of the TV show. It was Wing Wrestling International, New Generations, of course, in Japan. Only around 3 years, but Jason was there. I had my Roy Biggins on the mind talking Wings. Opening match time. We talked about him. The Pit Bulls teaming with Jason, taking on Hack Myers and the Young Dragons. Pit Bulls are really juiced and jacked up tonight. They got the new Jason with them. The crowd is super into Hack as always. Pitbull won, and one of the dragons start things off as Joey says a flight back to Tokyo may be a better alternative for this dragon. They get in the ring. Pitbull 1 overpowers him, stomps hard on the head. Pitbull 2 tags in. Joey says he's playing the floating ribs like a xylophone, which is a great line. Pitbull 2 hits a follow-away suplex, walks to the corner, smacks the Shah around. Pitbull 1 is back, but he's met by the Shah, unloads with a flurry. Pitbull 2 gets more of the same as Hack is all revved up. Pitbull 1 goes low to cut him off. Pitbull 2 comes in. We get a double suplex. The Shah tries to punch back into it, but Pitbull 2 goes to the eyes and keeps control. Hack comes back with punches and chops and a big clothesline. Pitbull 2 knocks him back down and tags in Pitbull 1. Pitbull 1 keeps using his power strikes and chucks the Shah to the floor, where Pitbull 2 and New Jason attack. Joey says Jason's arm is thicker than the heads at CNN Center, and then says hi to the ECW fans at Dirty Al's Sports Bar in Marietta, Georgia, where they watch ECW every week on satellite. Because now the Atlanta residents have the option to watch good hardcore wrestling instead of what they usually check out. So, Dirty Al's, Marietta, Georgia. We get a double clothesline. Pitbull 1 tags in the New Jason, lands a nice spin kick to the face, and a trio of hard headbutts that bust the Shah open. Joey says the Young Dragons have no help, as Hack has been going 3-on-1. Jason is wrecking Hack with more headbutts and a big clothesline. Hack kicks away desperately, but Pitbull 1 cuts him off. Pitbull 2 nails him from behind. Pitbull 1 cleans the Dragons off the apron. We get a triple team on the bloody Hack, unleashing more Jason headbutts, and then a flapjack Jason onto Hack for the win by the Pitbulls. Fun little squash. This new six-man unit looked really sharp. New Jason was impressive in this small dose. Vicious headbutts with the mask is a good hook. And the Pitbulls are rejuvenated after eradicating the bad breed from ECW. Nice showing for Hack as well, earning some hardcore cred and taking the shit kicking. So I went 2.25, Jenny.
Yeah. The next PTBN meetup's got to be at Dirty Al's Sports Bar in Atlanta, Georgia.
Marietta.
Marietta. Excuse me. You're right.
I'm going to look and see if it's still open.
Hackamania rules. I will just say that. I love Hack in this match with his non-existent tag team partners, the Young Dragons, over there doing absolutely nothing to Joey's dismay. Keeps wondering where they're at while Hack gets his ass beat by the Pit Bulls and Jason's mask. I will agree with you. I do like the face shots with the mask. That's pretty awesome. I gave it 2 stars. And a lot of that 2 stars come from post-match shenanigans, which we will talk about in a minute.
I think you guys are a little too generous. Barely a star.
I told you it comes from the post-match.
I'm surprised. None of you mentioned one of the dragons lost his mask. And what's even worse about losing the mask is nobody knew who the fuck he was without the mask. And
oh, barely mentioned. Did. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Some. It was a random white dude. Definitely not a Japanese. The dragons are always a disaster. I think that happened in like one of our first episodes.
Yeah, yeah. They've been a mess.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but they left poor Hack out there to drive, and Jason number 2 or whatever you want to call him is not very menacing at all. So that's that's really a letdown. Outside the mask, he didn't really do much. The big finish was all the Pitbull slamming him down onto Hack. The Pitbulls did all the work. So
well, he got the pin. So
yeah, but it was the Pitbulls really created the move. So. And there wasn't much. And even the hyped post match that Jenny's gonna cream over isn't.
Whatever. Whatever.
It can't save this shit show.
It saved it a little bit.
Look, we got Joey Pots and Pans and Johnny Bucket of Cold Water throwing it everywhere.
Jenny Pots and
Pans. All right. Jason, and the Pitbulls rejoin Joey, brag on their win. Jason says the fans didn't pay enough to see the monster Jason any longer. As Jason brags, Hack beats the shit out of the dragons in the ring behind them. Hack then comes over and cleans house on everyone with a chair. Jason tries to fend off Hack in the ring, but Hack beats the piss out of him too. Out comes the Virgin Princess Angel. She slaps Hack. But he drills her in the head and then spanks her. Angel seems to like it and then plants a big kiss on Hack. Yeah, maybe we have a new romance being born, perhaps. Hack wipes her out again, and that was a really fun segment with Hack snapping despite the domestic assault at the end. What'd you guys think of this?
Who was expecting this nonsense? Not me. I was dying when Hack was beating up the Young Dragons behind the promo with Jason and the Pitbulls. He's just in there just kicking their asses. Fucking hilarious. And then, you know, I would have been happy with that. But then my new friend, Angel, comes out in her ghetto wedding dress and gets a spanking, which she seems to enjoy, and then gets to make out with Hack Myers. So all that is fantastic, and I'm here for it. I need more of this.
Yeah, I was pissed that I was like, Joey, we heard enough of Jason. I want to see Hack beating up these
exactly
these two Jadrules. You know, cut to Hack, and they finally cut to him too late. And then Angel with her white dress and her combat boots, Joey. Pointed out some kind of a virgin looking at him, the kissing a bloody Hack, just a big mess. And as Joey pointed out too, it would have been nice if we could have got a better camera view of the spanking. That might have brought it up. That might have brought it up a half a star, or at least brought me up a half an inch. But still, I got to stick with the original opinion. Not as impressed as Pots and Pans, as Jenny Pots and Pans over there.
I mean, you don't enjoy a good spanking, D'Amato?
Not really. Giving nor receiving.
Well, that's unfortunate.
That ass is too bony for Johnny to really get spanked.
You need some junk in your trunk.
There we go. A little shaggy. All right, let's head back to our next match. Hope and pray for the return. That is Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, right there. You got the COVID.
Yeah, I don't have the COVID. But Tommy Dreamer is here. He may. He's out to take on Stevie Richards, who's in his Scotty Flamingo tinged gear, flanked by Raven. Tommy is focused. He's jacked. He's greeting the fans on the way out. Joey takes his usual shots at the WWF. He says, if you want hardcore wrestling, get out of Stanford. That's what Raven did. He's stoic at ringside during the introductions. We start a little slow with some feeling out, some lockups. Things spill outside where Richards decks Tommy with a chair, kicks him into the guardrail. Richards unloads with fists and tears Tommy's shirt off, puts it on himself, and breaks out of Shawn Michaels' pose. Tommy rolls in, hits a clothesline and a swinging neck breaker, puts a shirt back on. Back outside, Tommy levels Stevie with a chair, and a fan holds one up. Tommy throws him into that, shoots him back into the railing, back into the ring. Tommy nails him in the balls, but Richards goes to the eyes and hits a backdrop. Richards chokes away as Joey tries to figure out Raven's issues with Dreamer, something he's never really mentioned until now. Dreamer pops up with a quick DDT and then hits a sidewalk slam. Tommy goes up top and hits a nice frog splash, but he only gets two as Stevie hangs tough. Raven hops up and back down as Tommy slams Stevie, goes up top, but this time Stevie crotches him up there. Tommy recovers, gets a high crossbody for two. Raven comes in and hooks Tommy from behind. Stevie super kicks him in the chest. Raven takes off as Richards drags Tommy up. He's unsure what to do with him, so he just punches him. Stevie tries for a super kick, but Tommy ducks and punches him in the balls and picks up the win. Raven gets in the ring and stalks towards Tommy, but the ref and Stevie holds him back. Raven leaves to pussy champs on the crowd. Tommy celebrates and then tells Raven to head back to the WWF. Tell him there everyone in ECW says to kiss their ass. Tommy celebrates in the crowd as Joey shits on Todd Pettengill and Stephanie Wyan for no reason. This is a really good match with a neat finish. It was smart and well-timed. Richards has really grown in the ring. He's looking competitive, and he's a good part of the Raven storyline as the mouthpiece. So I thought this was hard fought, it was competitive, and it was well done to keep things simmering between Raven and Tommy. Jenny, Pots and Pans, I went 2.5 stars.
Yeah, I kind of went 3 stars on it. I'm glad that you gave Richards some love because I don't know how y'all feel about this comparison, but I was kind of getting like an early Matt Riddle vibe from him because I have no idea, but I think it's just because
I'll let you walk that one back if you want.
Yeah, I don't. It's weird. It's specific to me and like how I initially felt about Matt Riddle, and then he gradually won me over, and I feel like that's happening, but in a heel way with the Richards. I like when he puts Tommy's shirt on and prances around and makes fun of him, but it, like you said, it was competitive. And Tommy was really great. Like, he was very confident. He loved the crowd. He fed off the crowd quite a bit. And he had a hot DDT, which always is going to get some notice from me. So 3 stars, Johnny.
Yeah, not as high as you guys, but a solid 2 stars. I did like Richards too, though. I love his aggression. He doesn't play a chicken shit heel.
Right.
He kind of the opposite. Not relying on Raven. It came out very aggressive, and I like the spot with the shirt. And there was he showed good aggression. But Dreamer goes over like he should at the end, and then when he told Raven to go back to WWF, that ignited Joey, and it gave Joey opportunity to get some Stephanie Wyans shots in. Who put her on live TV?
Well, I don't think anyone's ever attacked Stephanie Wyan.
Joey loves to eat that stuff up. He just perks right up when somebody in there, and he just climbs right on.
I love it.
Beautiful.
All right. What do we got next? Our next match is what we got next. Mikey fucking whip wreck. Here we go with our rematch from our last series of TV, as he takes on his best friend, former best friend, Paul Lauria. Jason, not Voorhees, but sexy, leads out Lauria as he's assembled quite a little stable. Usual big pop for Mikey. Goes right at Paul, knocks him over the railing, gets an assist from the fans to chuck him back over. They head inside where Mikey's red hot, taking the fight to his old pal. Mikey cranks a headlock, blocks a hip toss, but Lauria works some reversals into a takedown, then a waist lock. They continue to trade offense at a crisp pace, working on and off with a limb focus, ending with Lauria beating on the arm. Mikey fights back up. It's a shoulder block and a cross body block for two, then a suplex and some fist drops. Mikey sends Lauria flying with a huge back body drop for two. Mikey remains in control. Jason hops on the apron, but Mikey Atomic drops Lauria into him. Mikey ends up on the apron, hits a slingshot, head scissors takeover to send Lauria crashing outside. Mikey then hits a tope, but Lauria dodges and he crashes hard to the floor. Lauria spikes him to the floor again, and then Jason slams him on a table. Lauria follows up with another slam on a shattered table and jabs him in the chin with a chair jab. Back inside, Lauria hits a snap suplex or two, but Mikey comes back, tries a double arm DDT, which Lauria breaks, so Mikey just twists into a surfboard type submission and a butterfly suplex for two. Lauria goes low and heads up top, but Mikey catches him, crotches him, and then hits a super bulldog and covers, but Jason makes a save. Mikey decks Jason, but Lauria blocks a pile driver back inside. Mikey follows with a backside and gets the win. Another good match with these guys. Not as hot as their TV war, but still a lot of fun and a hot crowd for Mikey. Lauria showed well again. Mikey's come a long way being able to put together a match like this, hang in there, and deliver. So, Johnny, I went 3 stars, just like the TV match.
Just like you, I think it was a notch below the match from our last episode, which it should have been the other way around. The better match should have been on this because this is, you know, like the super show or the pay-per-view. But these guys got good chemistry, and the end result in this match was a lot better, obviously, with Mikey going over. So a happier ending here, especially for Miss Jenny.
I'm a sucker for a happy ending. So I bumped this up from last time. 3.5 stars for me. I love this match. I love the beginning when Lauria gets thrown into the crowd and then the crowd throws him the fuck back over the guardrail. Not once, but twice. Because fuck a Paul Lauria. That's why. They are all about some Mikey. And this is sloppy and weird at times, but they are both giving it their all. Mikey gets some great offense. He crouches him on the top rope. He punches Jason at one point after he gets that ruined pin, which actually Jason was pretty great in this. I'm giving credit because I really hate him and I'm supposed to. So he's really doing a good job, especially by ruining that pin towards the end for Mikey. Joey says of Jason, "I hate him." And I'm like, I agree with you. We all agree with you. I really do love this. I love when Mikey wins a match. So that is why I gave it more than the previous TV match.
All right. Well, so you guys, I think Paul Lauria showed well overall.
He did.
He's been a good addition.
He really did.
He works well with Jason. And it's cool to see Mikey get something substantial and something where he's not the underdog. It's not the same story that we've seen, which is fine. You know, he's good at it, but it's cool to see him do something different and just be a wrestler, you know, not the underdog story, having to fight from behind. Like, this is the transition, you know, and John, as you know, well, with like 1-2-3 Kid, right? Like, they struggled a bit to always make that transition to where he's a guy versus like the perpetual underdog, but they've done a pretty good job making Mikey into that role, someone that's legit.
Yeah, Laurie is another, you know, if you want to call it hidden gem or forgotten soul here. Definitely impressive. And not somebody who, you know, you hear about a lot when people talk about, you know, the ECW and the golden age and stuff. So.
Well, I just wonder if that will translate to any other story outside of Mikey at this point.
Yeah, unfortunately, the size.
Size, so it's like, it's good for Mikey, but I'm not sure what else he has left to do here.
Well, we'll find out, because he ain't going anywhere.
All right, good.
Hey, guys, did you know that the Bad Breed exploded?
I heard about that.
All right, because they ain't together no more, and tonight they're fighting against each other. Ian Rotten versus Axel Rotten. Axel charges the aisle, goes right at his brother as they immediately brawl on ringside. They bust out some vicious weapon shots. Axel lands a nasty chair shot to the head, one to the back. Axel throws Ian to the crowd and follows out. Ian's already bleeding as Axel's pummeling him with a chair, dragging him deeper to the back of the arena. Ian is now soaked in blood as he mounts a strike-based comeback, driving his brother back to ringside. Ian has a frying pan. Axel grabs it from him and just beats his head with it. Axel jabs something into Ian's face, so we head inside. Axel keeps clawing at the cut, which is just getting grisly. Ian somehow battles back and shoots Axel to the corner, meets him with a dropkick. Back out we go, where Ian misses a charge, lands against the railing, and eats a chair shot. Back inside, Axel hammers away at the cut until Ian scoops him up and puts his feet on the ropes to win the match. Axel beats the shit out of his brother afterward. I hated the finish, but it was a sick, bloody war. Just let Ian smash him with a weapon and win. Why didn't we have to get the stupid roll-up with the feet on the ropes? But the war was extreme. It was good. It was what you'd expect between these two nuts. So I went 2 3/4, Jenny, as the feud looks to continue. But this is just an old-school bloodbath.
Yeah, it's kind of the same as what I mentioned last episode, where this has become old hat for us. Like, seeing this sort of match is sort of typical for us now, with all the blood and going in the crowd and the weapons. So none of it feels super fresh, but, you know, they obviously, you know each other really well. So they carry it off really well. It's just, it's nothing crazy. It's nothing like that's going to take my attention. So I gave it 2.5 stars, really, for the blood mostly, Johnny.
Yeah, and the Jade Extreme Encyclopedia, this would be called Matches Shittiest. not much here. Other than the massive blood, there was nothing else. And after a while, he drained so much blood out of his forehead that he had to go to his bicep to get some more juice. It was real ugly, and it was kind of unnecessary. I think all that blood, you can kind of save it for like one of the top matches, and instead of a nothing thrown together match here. And as I believe you said last episode, I had the same problem. As it's kind of hard to differentiate between Ian and Axel, and who's the heel and who's the face, and pretty much Ian stole the pin and didn't really do much else. He just drained most of the juice
he needed a transfusion after this shit.
Rough one.
Kind of what they're known for is just these sick bloody brawls, whether you know it's an IWA, right. ECW, wherever they are. So we'll see more of these guys to come, I'm sure. All right, it is now time for a very interesting match. So Al Snow debuted last episode on TV against Nishimura, did a great job in that match, and tonight he gets a crack at Chris Benoit as he moves his way up the card. Joey says Snow trained Dan Severn, talks up his recent success in MMA. We get some good feeling out, trading offense to set the tone. The crowd is rabid. Joey says they braved the first blizzard of 1995 to get here. Tonight, Benoit overpowers Snow. Snow battles back and lands a hard super kick, drives Benoit to the corner as we reset. Benoit comes back with an elbow, some disgusting chops. Benoit shoots Snow to the corner, flops to the apron, and Benoit drills him with a clothesline to knock him outside. Beto hits a baseball slide dropkick, but Snow pops up and levels him with a springboard moonsault dropkick, missile dropkick to huge pop. Benoit dips outside and dodges a Snow baseball slide. Back inside, Benoit lands a heart kick. Snow comes back with a sharp spin kick to the head. Benoit goes back outside to regroup and then dodges a charge and hangs Snow across the top rope, but Snow spikes Benoit to the top turnbuckle. Benoit dodges a missile dropkick and gets a German for two. Benoit slams Snow as Joey wonders if anyone can truly give Benoit a fight. Benoit cuts Snow down with a shoulder block, then kicks away at the head. Benoit gives another German for two as Snow has been beaten to dust here. Benoit slams Snow with a flying headbutt and hits the flying headbutt, but Snow kicks out. Benoit snaps him down with a sick powerbomb for two, but Al will not give up. Benoit plays to the crowd as he contemplates what's next. Benoit stomps and slugs away, but Snow reverses a full Nelson suplex and twists into his own Snowplex for a pop. Snow escapes a German and hits one of his own, stomps away in the corner, hits a backdrop and a super kick for two. Snow gets another two on a fisherman suplex and targets the back, but Benoit slips behind him with a German that is completely folds Snow in half. Joey says we have a true match of the year candidate here. Benoit again gets behind Snow and snaps over a full Nelson suplex into a bridge and gets the win. Benoit then destroys Snow with a powerbomb after the match, and Snow gets stretchered out, and this was a fucking war. Stiff as hell, worked at an amazing nonstop pace. Benoit's a machine, and Snow hung right with him, earning a ton of credibility. This is really the match that put him on the map. The offense was hard-hitting, nasty all through this. Amazing to see this in 1995 in ECW. Benoit's tour de force here continues, and Snow makes a really good impression. Johnny, I went 4.25.
Yes, excellent, excellent. It's just as we discussed last episode, from the minute Snow stepped into ECW, the crowd was right behind him. I don't quite remember like where he got the reputation and how it seemed like everybody knew about him and they appreciate him right away from the jump. But it was much deserved. Every move is different from what we've used to seeing, and Very, he's a technical master, and that top rope drop kick from like the middle out of nowhere when Benoit had his back, and that sent the crowd into a frenzy. That was a great spot right there, and just a great, and they're really getting over Benoit as a killer. Even after he got the pin, he stretched out Snow after the match, really getting him over as a killer heel.
Go out of your way to watch this match from Double Tables 1995. Mm-hmm. It is goddamn incredible. I'm just saying, like, I had been watching a good 3 hours of wrestling by this point because I was watching all the TV matches and stuff. So I was burnt a little bit. And then this match came on and it went forever. But I quit taking notes at about quarter way through it because I just got so sucked into it. These guys are amazing. Al Snow stays with Benoit match. Like, he matches all of his moves from the beginning, the wrist locks into the reversals and to the bridges. And, like, it's just a gorgeous ballet. They're both amazing. Like, I was blown away by this match. It was completely incredible because by the time that Benoit really starts breaking Snow down, he just starts taking all this incredible abuse, like, in this gorgeous way. Like, it's I gave it 4.25 stars too. I would watch this one like every day, like for a week. It's amazing.
It was really well executed. I mean, Snow just takes a complete shit kicking, which earns him the cred, and then you get the hot finish and segment sequence. A lot of suplexes, a lot of hard strikes, and yeah, again, the match, I really put Snow on the map and got him over. And I think this was on the Benoit DVD, Johnny, in the mid-2000s that kind of reintroduced it to the mainstream.
The Hard Knocks.
Yeah. So, all right, great match. We'll see if we can follow it up as we finally get Shane Douglas taking on Tully Blanchard. As Douglas again takes on that legend outsider as he continues to prove himself as the franchise. Good entrance. Douglas keeps building the star feel. Tully gets a hot start with the big suplex. Some punches as he's fighting right through Shane's attempts to slow him down. Tully gets a slingshot suplex for two. Spikes the champ with a pile driver for a close near fall. Tully shrugs off any offense from the champ and punches away. Douglas peppers back but eats a knee on a charge. Tully cuts him down, but Shane finally punches and kicks his way into control, shoving Tully to the floor. Shane follows out, unloads, and slams him on a table, then elbows him off the apron. Shane spikes Tully's head into a chair, but Tully slugs Shane back down and runs him into the post. Back inside, Tully hits an elbow to the head and more knees, but Shane shoves him into the ropes, hits a clothesline that knocks both men to the floor hard. Shane blocks a back suplex, kicks into a cover for a super close near fall, and I was glad that wasn't the finish. I was worried it was. Tully yanks Shane to the floor by his tights and follows out. They hit some more strikes and shoots him into the crowd. Shane climbs back over, but Tully's all over him, hitting a backbreaker. Tully tries to suplex Shane back in, but Shane shifts his weight and crashes on top to retain his title. I like the match and the finish. These guys are very similar. The styles meshed well, both working takedowns and strikes in and out of the ring. We had a lot of brawling, but it went beyond that, too. I loved Tully just like shrugging off anything Shane was doing and just punching through it to keep control, wrestling with a clear motive to prove that he's the old Tully, like we keep hearing about. The finish was sharp as Douglas finds another way to overcome a challenge and come out on top and continue this reign that he has going on. Tully was a good visiting challenger, popped in, worked well at the champ, gave us a match that I went 3 stars on, Jenny.
I didn't hate it. I felt like it was a typical Shane match. It was okay, not great. Kind of a tough match to have after that Benoit match,
right?
Really. Just a weird spot in the card, I guess. And at least it wasn't the main event, I guess. But just kind of same old, you know, really, from Shane, and nothing super innovative at all. Just fine for me, Johnny.
Yeah, we mentioned in the last episode, you were right, that I thought that the Philly crowd would give Tully some more love, but they weren't really that into him, and it's a little quieter than usual for a Shane match. They didn't really take to the to Tully, I guess because of his past, and also I don't think they took to his preaching and his rehab, mm-hmm. or whatever was going on, especially the sign that said Blanchard doesn't have a prayer right in the front row. So. But I like how he came out as a sprint at the beginning, that where maybe you thought that he'd get a quick upset pin, where he busted out the slingshot suplex and the pile driver right in the first couple minutes. So that maybe the crowd thought that would be a surprise pin early. But once Shane got over that, then you knew he was going to pull it out eventually. But a solid match otherwise.
Yeah, it was good to see Tully there. Like, you know, we got the one match out of him to see what he had going on. And, you know, after all the hype, we've had a lot of tease that he was coming. And this one, it felt weird because the build felt all jumbled for this. Like, we kind of saw him, then we didn't, yeah. Then we talked about him. I think if the build was more focused and linear, it would have had a little bit more heat, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could still go in the ring. But, we didn't get those promos that he's capable of, because that makes him, you know, that much better. So that's another reason why the crowd was probably tepid, because we didn't really get, you know, those classic promos.
Plus the brawl was in Florida, not even in Philly, to set it up. So that didn't help either. Okay. Go ahead, Jenny.
And I don't know. It's just more of my Shane issues, because, like, everybody that comes to challenge Shane is from outside ECW. I would like to have a challenger that has come up in ECW to challenge Shane. I want to see that track instead of a Tully or Ron Simmons, even though I've enjoyed Ron and Tully. It's fine. I just keep it like more insular. I think I would enjoy that better.
We're going to get there. Okay. But for now, it's still him trying to, you know, like we've talked about, it's him trying to build the world title and bring in these guys from around the world to prove that ECW is the best promotion. So,
I mean, he has done that. It's just the matches are lacking.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, you're really going to get so much out of 1995. Yeah. Blanchard. Not going to go out there and really cut a hell of a pace or anything. Hey, here he is, the Sandman, for his big rematch with Cactus Jack. We saw that on our last TV show, Brutal and Vicious, and led to a couple of great promos from these two. And this is a Texas death match. Cactus attacks Sandman during his entrance. Get the chair shots are flowing right away, both out and in the ring. Cactus keeps smashing him with a chair and gets a three count after a leg drop. Sandman beats the count to his feet, but Cactus smashes him with the chair again, puts it on his face, and leg drops him for another three count. Sandman survives. Cactus knocks Sandman hard to the floor. Back outside, Cactus batters Sandman with a frying pan. As Sandman looks like, again, he's completely out cold on his feet.
Yes.
Sandman reverses a whip and sends Cactus to the rail, but he's staggering all over the place. Sandman spikes Cactus back to the railing, tries to gather himself. Back in the ring, Sandman hits a slingshot leg drop, but he's too gassed to fully take advantage. Cactus kicks his way back into control, and Sandman's still out of it. Back outside we go as Cactus snapmares him onto the floor, but whiffs on a leg drop. Cactus recovers but misses on a charge and crashes into the railing, digging up his knee. Sandman cracks him with a punch. We head into the ring where Sandman gets a suplex and he has welts all over his head as he slowly works over Cactus. Joey says if this wasn't Texas Death, the ref would have called us up because Sandman scrambled brains. Woman looks on as Sandman works the leg and she canes his knee from the floor. Sandman lands some knees and staggers around the ring, even getting confused and almost hitting the ref with a chair. Jack drills Sandman from behind, but Sandman blocks a pile driver with a really awkward backdrop. Cactus recovers with a DDT for two, and Sandman kicks out, but you could tell that his lights are completely off and he's gone. Sandman lands a kick and spikes Jack with a nasty pile driver on the chair for two. Sandman punches away, drops Cactus with a DDT for a three count. Jack beats the count, grabs a cane, and just destroys Sandman across the head. Sandman rolls outside and Jack follows and they trade blows. And you can just see it. Sandman is completely running on instinct. Jack smashes him with a chair again, forces him to the mat, and chucks him back outside. Jack follows, hits a Cactus elbow with a chair, but Sandman kicks out, which had to be instinct, because you got to think this is getting close to the finish. Jack just slams a chair on his head. He's pissed off from the apron, drops another elbow. This time he gets three, but Sandman sits up at the four count, and Cactus is aggravated, just punches him in the head, gets two on a leg drop. Sandman blocks a pile driver as they tumble into the railing. Jack hits a DDT for three. Sandman sits right up again as Joey compares him to The Undertaker. He says he had the guts to come here, if The Undertaker had the guts to come here. Sandman would send him back to the dark side. Jack hits another DDT for three, but again, Sandman sits up. Jack hits another DDT for three, and Sandman finally stays down, giving Jack the win to a pop. What a messy, brutal affair. Sandman was on Dream Street, and it made it enthralling to watch, but scary as well. Because you kept wondering, would he finally stay down? He just takes a beating. Instinct just kept him chugging, leading to more punishment. You could feel Jack's frustration bleeding through as Sandman is not with it enough to stay down. A good violent match that paid off the hate. It would have been better if Sandman wasn't completely run out to lunch throughout most of the match. But again, it was very different. And I think Sandman was out of it. I don't think it was selling lead again. So Johnny went 3.25 on this vicious beatdown here.
Yeah, that's a little high. The combination of Sandman getting his bell rung early and having to be dragged through the rest of the match. And also, I couldn't take – it really took me out of the match. It was ridiculous with the three counts. I mean, why even bother? Texas Death rules a 10. We've seen the what's more modern is known as, last man standing or whatever, where the 10 count, why even bother? And Joe even – Joey tried to cover it the first couple of times, but then after like three or four times, Joey even said, hey, yeah, it's no big deal. You just, lay down till about six or seven and get your rest because you don't have to get up to the 10 count. It was ridiculous, all those three counts, one, two, three. And then, you got to stay down for another count for seven more counts. So that kind of took me out of it. It was a little, you can only suspend disbelief so much.
I would agree with you that that issue was tedious to watch in the match, but like Justin says, also fascinating to watch Sandman's fucking struggle.
He got his bell rung. Yeah.
Oh my God. And because from the previous match of theirs, you wondered what can they do to step it up, but somehow they kind of did. Even though it's a lot of the same stuff that we've seen, especially from Cactus, but, Sandman was just somehow relentless. I don't understand how he was functioning. I don't understand how he's still alive. And they just, it was so brutal and fucked up looking. He went upside down, caught up in the ropes at one point. And I think he just made that up. He had no idea what he was doing. It was fucking crazy. And then woman looking hot on the sidelines, getting her cane shots in. Always good to see that too, but I gave it 3.25 as well.
Yeah, it was insane to watch. It was scary and wild. And you just kept like, you just stay down, stay down. It just would not
just
stay
please
down.
Just fucking lay down. Damn it, God.
When he sits up and Mick just
your brains.
Punching him in the face was like ridiculous.
Oh my God.
All right, main event time.
Oh boy.
Our one true Arabian Nights, Sabu, teaming with Taz to challenge the Public Enemy. Double tables time, as the show name leads you to believe. Double tables coming to a raging feud here to a head as well. Big pot for the champs. This one feels like a big deal. Rocco grabs the mic and says, the computer internet mutants. We'll see what real wrestling is now. Tabu and Taz is a great ECW super team coming out like wild beasts released to a fight. We start right away with a brawling Rock and Taz battle inside while Grunge and Sabu go at it on the floor. Taz hits a powerbomb, no sells an arm drag to stay in control. Sabu smashes Grunge with a chair, sits him on it, and then hits a wild diving plancha into him from the ring. Taz and Rocco are back near the exit. Taz smacks him with a broom handle. Sabu continues to lay waste to Grunge as Paul watches on. The bloody Grunge comes back with a frying pan and smashes Sabu in the head with it over and over. All four in the ring as Sabu hits Air Sabu and the Arabian Facebuster on Grunge. Rocco pitches Taz outside as the crowd is just rabid for this. Public Enemy takes control as the first table gets shoved in the ring. Sabu and Taz battle right back and Grunge gets shoved on a table. Sabu grabs a chair and opens it up on the top turnbuckle. Sabu stands on the chair, goes for a leg drop, but Grunge dodges it, and Sabu takes a nasty bump down. Grunge starts to beat on Sabu with a pipe as we swap off with Grunge and Taz start to battle. Taz grabs Sabu and sends him to the Rock with a Tazplex. Grunge hits a belly-to-belly on Taz. Public Enemy sets up a table in the corner. Both challengers get whipped into it. Taz grabs a piece of the table, beats on Grunge as Sabu slings Rocco through the standing table. Another table gets set up, and both Taz and Grunge fall through it, so now we're all tied up. And the next table break will win. Rocco puts Sabu on the table, heads to the middle rope, and leg drops Sabu through it, but the ref was tied up and he missed it. Rock grabs the bell himself, or rings the bell himself, as Grunge chokes out Paulie on the floor. Sabu and Taz put Rock on a table on the floor, and Sabu hits a top rope leg drop to break it and give Sabu and Taz the win and the titles to a massive pop. All four brawl in the ring after the bell. 9-1-1 comes out. He helps Sabu set up some tables with one on the top rope and one in the ring. They lay Rock on one and Sabu heads up top, but out comes Chris Benoit and he powerbombs Sabu off the table through Rocco Rock on the other table in a wild, crazy bump to end the show. Another vicious weapons-filled match. A lot of hate. The bumps were good. The crowd treated it with awe as the all four brawled with abandon. Taz and Sabu are a really fun team and they believably balanced Public Enemy in the division, so both feel like heavy hitter teams. The finish was awesome, too. A classic moment as fans realized what was happening when Sabu and Taz got the win. I was even okay with the fake out because it kept Public Enemy strong. It doesn't really affect much with them putting Sabu through the table. It didn't get seen. And it was a worthy main event to what I felt was a great card. And the Benoit finish really bumped the overall grade for me, too. That was just a wild spot and a super strong finish. Just to me, like it, I tried to put myself in this time period with this show. And that to me made it completely mind blowing when you look at it, because the crowd witnessing this, and at this time period, when you think about what was going on in WCW and WWF, to be in Philly and see this show live, like I would have been just buzzing and talking about the show for weeks and weeks and weeks and thinking about it, being here live for this. And that carries weight for me when I put it in the context of what was going on at the time. To me, it's just insanity. It was a red-hot card from start to finish. We saw a good angle progression. We saw great wild brawling. We saw a clinic with Benoit and Snow. Guys getting over, a deep card. I mean, to me, for a two-hour wrestling show in the winter of 95, like, this is it. I just couldn't imagine being in this arena at this point. So I went 3.25 on the match itself, and just an awesome ending to a great show, Johnny.
Yeah, to your point, this is a quintessential ECW. You got Public Enemy, you got Taz, Sabu, 911, Paul Lee, you got frying pans, you got tables, jumping off chairs, the chairs that are on top of tables. This is just everything that ECW was about. My only criticism about the it's just more the editing where they kind of went off quick after the Benoit powerbomb, and I wasn't really sure that the titles had changed hands. They'd really emphasize that, or maybe it just got edited out. Because with the confusing finish, I wasn't sure if they were going to reverse it or whatever, but because Joey didn't emphasize much that they were new champions, because they kind of wanted to end with the Benoit power bomb to make him look strong and to set up him and Sabu, I guess.
Well, they announced, you know, new tag team winners or whatever, but yeah, it was a little bit convoluted when you get towards the end there. I don't know what other comments I could make about a Sabu and Taz match, because they're both just balls to the wall every single match. Same thing with Public Enemy. So it was just more of what they are awesome at. Sabu with his injury, as always. I mean, when is he not injured? He should be injured every day of his life, because he does horrific things like that spot off the top of the rope, off the chair. Oh my God. And then kills himself on the table. Just relentless, you know, the craziness. I don't know how much time Taz and Sabu will have with those belts, but I'm glad to see them with it.
All right. Well, that puts a bow on a show that we were very excited for the hype for, that I felt like it delivered. And it's an awesome special event for those fans in Philly. Best match to me, though, easily Chris Benoit versus Al Snow.
Definitely.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
Worst match was the opener of the six-man tag.
I feel like that's accurate. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Pitbulls and Young Dragons.
Which is fine, though, because that's how these cards build. Like, that's just how it is. They open with their low end and they build the card up. They don't sprinkle stuff in. They go from the least to the biggest on these shows, and that's how it's set up. So.
Well, maybe for Shane Douglas.
But. Maybe the Rottens as competition, but yeah, that one was especially mm-hmm. low bar. The Dragons.
All right, best moment. I had a bunch here. I had Hack wiping out Jason's crew. I had the finish of Benoit versus Al Snow, Jack murdering Sandman, Sabu and Taz title win, and then the Benoit superbomb on Sabu. So all those to me are what brought the show into the bucket of greatness it was.
I like Snow's top rope dropkick hitting Benoit in the back. Really set the crowd off.
Snow and Benoit, just in general, their performances. Also Mikey's tremendous win over Fuck a Paul Loria.
The giant.
Yes, the giant.
All right, most 90s, I went with Virgin Princess Angel's dress and combat boots combo and the Rock boots. A Rock mocking the internet fans in 1995.
Rock a Rock doing the cabbage patch. Yeah.
Anything, Jenny, from you?
Just the boots. I like the boots.
Stock Rising, I went with Jason. I went with Hack Myers, Mikey Whipwreck, Al Snow, and Chris Benoit.
Benoit. Al Snow.
Yeah, definitely Benoit. They had him going strong at the end. And Cactus, of course.
Mm-hmm. Stock Falling in with Young Dragons, Ian Rotten, and Sandman's Brain, which is this complete falling out.
Oh, my God.
I would put Tully in there, too, but that's just me.
Yeah, both the Rottens. Definitely the Axel, he lost the match.
All right, final grade. Like I said, this is, I think, the best thing we've watched so far. Had arguably maybe the best match we've seen so far in Snow and Benoit. Had big moments, well delivered on the hype. I really can't think of much else I would have asked for. Maybe like a 5-star match that would have really put it over the top. But I went 8.5 out of 10. I mean, I thought this was great. I think the TV building up to it was awesome, and they delivered a wonderful show, Jenny.
8 out of 10 for me. I really enjoyed it. And from a watching point of view, because the way that it's edited together is very choppy. So you miss a lot of like entrances and things like that I think that I would have enjoyed to see, especially Sandman and Woman. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 8 out of 10. It was a great show.
Yeah, I wasn't as high as you guys, about a 6, because I thought there were really only 2 out of 8 superior matches, which was Snow Benoit and the final match with Sabu and Taz versus the Public Enemy. And the rest, there was some mediocre to not so good. So only about a 6. Sorry, guys.
Johnny Downer.
No, Johnny Bucket of Cold Water.
kidding.
usually I'm Johnny Optimist. I'm Johnny Optimistic. But,
quarantine's getting to you.
I don't like quarantine, Johnny.
I'll rally.
Figure it out. Get your shit together. All right. Look, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. What do we got coming at you then? We have actually a really big episode, guys. So we're going to hit in one episode, we're going to hit 3 weeks of TV and a special event all in one episode for you. It's a supersize.
What?
And the reason we're doing that, the TV is a lot of recap of this show because we actually get to see this special event. They replay a lot of the matches. So honestly, the TV is just like a couple of quick things in there. Not a lot we'll be covering, but we will be hitting up Return of the Funker. 1995 will be our main dish on that episode. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Otherwise, continue listening to everything here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network, whether it's Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Year That Was, From Montreal to Memphis, The Fighting Spirit of 06, Carolina Dreamin', Ruthless the Aggressive Podcast. Tons of great episodes for you each and every day here on this feed. You can follow me at JT the Pod Guy on Twitter, Facebook.com/North-South Connection. Jenny, what do you have going on?
I have a podcast feed. It is called Jenny Position. So you can find that on all the podcatcher apps. You should be able to find a new episode of Freak Out Drive-In and probably The Journey Through Infinity. Iron Man 3 should be on there as well. Mm. And you can also find me. I have a couple shows on the Place B Nation Wrestling feed. It includes Jenny and the Gems. We just did March to WrestleMania 10. And then there should be a new episode of PTB NXT, episode number 5, coming soon. Also on Twitter at Jenny Position and Facebook page. Rate and review.
Johnny?
All right. Picking it pretty easy these days. Maybe on the PTB on Pop feed, there should be a new Laughing Theater with Mr. Atherton. So look for that.
All right, very good. And, of course, you can always check out me on the Place to Be podcast and Body Press Your Luck over at the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed as well. So that's it. Check us all out. Thank you for joining us. As always, stay extreme. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time.
All righty.
Thirsty, I have a man reimbursement. The part that hurts me is when they try to work me, but I can never let you jerk me. Instead of sticking to the wall, give it up. Sneak it through the back door, live it up. Got the champagne, pour me a cup. Got the girls looking raw in the front. Gotta call your man's in town. Tell the bar another round. Got all my mans holding me down. Kinda thick, man, let's get down. So get with it. I'm saying what time, wanna get with it. Get a
yes, yes, y'all. Feel a beat, y'all. Freak, freak, y'all. You don't stop. Def Jam signed me to hit the lottery. It wasn't free, but don't call it a robbery. They underestimated me quite possibly. It's like that when you were Godfather B. I'm the greatest of all time. You heard that before. But now when I say it, it means so much more. Cause it's so true. No hype, man. No crew. No reason for ghostwriters. Every year I get tighter. Mothers and daughters agree I'm on fire. Check your T-Mobile. It's all over the wire. Cross your legs, baby. Hide your desire.